Well, good morning, and welcome to Grace Bible Church here in Montgomery. Glad to have you with us this morning. A few things that we always, themes that we try to follow here. You know, what do you believe and why? Of course, the corollary to that is, if you died tonight, where would you go and why? Okay, another theme that we use here at Grace Bible Church, and that is in Acts chapter 17, those Bereans are called more noble in that they searched the Scriptures daily to test those things that were preached to them and taught to them, whether they were so. I'd encourage you to do the same thing. You know, what do you believe and why? Because a preacher told you, because, you know, Mama and Daddy said this, some good teacher. What saith the Scripture is what it's got to be about. And then the third principle is context. Okay, you've got to take Scripture in context. Okay, to whom is it written? Under what circumstances? What comes before it? What comes after it? Okay, at what time? Okay, and especially if you like to follow a red letter edition, I would really encourage you, look at to whom is Christ speaking. And you're going to find out that about 9 times out of 10, it's to 12 men and 12 men only. And I want to emphasize only. Okay, that being said, thanks for being here this morning at Grace Bible Church. John chapter 8, I want to talk to you this morning about lost believers. And right here in John chapter 8, we have a great example of some people that are lost believers. Lost believers, they believe the right things. They believe the right circumstances. The right facts about history, but they're lost. Okay, so let's take a look at here. John chapter 8, just to set up the context here in verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, getting the context. Then spake Jesus again unto them. Who is them? If you go back to verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees. And I'll just stop right there. But that's who's involved here, okay? The scribes and the Pharisees. Verse 12, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, and he goes on to talk. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him. Okay, come over now to verse 30. Again, I just want you to see to whom he is speaking, right? Get it in context. Verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So you see, who's he talking to here? Did these people believe on him? Okay, the Scripture's pretty clear, is it not, that these people believe on him? That's the part I want you to see. They believed on him. Then he says in verse 31, continuing verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he, again, he's talking to people that believe on him. Now, let's jump down here to verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Watch verse 41 now. Ye do the deeds of your father. Again, talking to those Pharisees, right? And people that are believing on him. On him. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. What did those people that believe on him just call him? A bastard. Okay, talking to Christ, you know, because he had a heavenly Father, not an earthly Father. And they're calling him a bastard. Whoa, wait a minute. It said earlier these people believed on him. Let's keep reading. Verse 42, then Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Watch verse 44. He talk about an accusation. Ye are of your father the devil. Let's start verse 44 again. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. Okay, you see, these people are lost believers. At the beginning here, as we read, they believed on him, on Christ. But boy, they sure are lost, aren't they, in this story at this time, right? While Christ was on earth 2,000 years ago. Okay, lost believers, people that believe the things that they're told at the time, but yet they're lost. Okay, and unfortunately, there are so many people today in churches around this country, probably around the world, but certainly around this country, they may believe, you know, back about 2,000 years ago, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth in the form of a man, and he lived, you know, we always talk about Matthew. I'm sorry, let me use black. You know, Christ was born, and there's some books of the Bible here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, that talk about that time period, those 33 and a half years when Christ was on earth. Talk about his life, and specifically about a three-year period, his ministry to 12 men, I want to emphasize, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But there's so many people that believe that Christ died on the cross back here, and that he was buried and even rose again the third day. My wife was raised in the Catholic Church. You better believe they believe that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Lost believers. They believe the historical facts of the gospel, but they are lost. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Okay, and why do we talk about this? Actually, go to while we're in the Gospels here, let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and some people want to say, well, that's a parable you're about to read. There is a proper name in here called Lazarus. There are not any parables in this Bible that have a proper name in them. Okay, we're going to start in verse 19. So this is Luke 16, starting in verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Wow, what a picture that paints. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in where? And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame, it says. I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren. Look at that. He remembers, doesn't he? He's dead. He's in hell. But he remembers his life on earth. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, my point here is hell, place of torment, flame. How many of you have seen any of the shows? There's all kinds of them going on. Trying not to date the taping here. But how many of you have seen some of the 9/11 rebroadcasts lately? Anybody have seen those? Kim and I watched those last weekend. It was unbelievable. I'm amazed to think about this. So they were showing when the planes hit the World Trade Towers. And here's the buildings on fire while they're still standing. And they interviewed the cameramen that were down there in between the two buildings, and they're going up, and they filmed people jumping from the top of that building. And he filmed the first one. And they interviewed the cameramen, and he said, I'll never, now I imagine if you were there, you would never forget either. He said, I'll never forget the sound of those bodies hitting the ground. And then they showed a second one, and he filmed that one. Of course, they're stopping, you know, before it hit the ground. But and then he said, I couldn't film anymore. I had to put my camera away. He said, it was just too horrific. Well, as they interviewed more and more people, there were dozens and dozens and dozens of people that had jumped from the top of that building. Now, come on, gang, think about this, and we're reading about hell here. People that were up, this is real life, our lifetime, right? How many, you know, where were you when you heard, when 9/11 happened, when you first heard about it? Okay, is there anybody out here that does not remember where they were? That does not remember where they were when they heard about it? Okay, and do you remember that? Do you remember where you were when that person came in? Okay, so you remember that. Absolutely, you remember that. We all remember it. We'll all always remember it, won't we? But come on, gang, think about that. You talk about having no hope. People on the top floors, above the fires, it got that bad. The torment that they were experiencing got that bad. They even showed one that got out on a beam that was sticking out there, and she just put her hands up like this and just did a swan dive, if you will. Unbelievable. And then they cut the picture off there. I mean, I was watching this last weekend. No hope. The torment was that bad. What torment? The heat from those flames. Do you understand what hell really is? Anybody that rejects the truth of the gospel, you know, why do they go to hell? Their sins were paid for, were they not? When Christ, you know, 2 Corinthians 5, you know, he became sin. He paid the price for everyone's sins. But those that reject the love of the truth, those are the ones that end up in hell. Remember this morning we talked about believing. What do you believe and why? These people would rather jump off a building. You know, I don't know how many stories those World Trade Towers were, but, you know, some of the tallest buildings in the world, they knew what was at the other end of that jump. And think about it, for those that were not saved, they left one fire for another fire, didn't they? They left one place of torment for another that probably didn't change at all. I mean, that just made it so real about our need to go out and share this gospel of salvation with others. You know, let's start with those close to us. Let's start with our families. Like we say, it's a whole lot easier to go to a funeral of somebody that you know their testimony of salvation. And when you go to one that you're not sure of, and you think about things like that, you go, wow, I had this chance. I had that chance. You know, I shared a poem earlier. One of the things that really hit me was that gentleman that had died. I had never shared my testimony with me in two things. One, it really bothered me that he had died and I didn't know anything about his salvation. Matter of fact, I think I probably did know. And the second thing, why, when I was that close to this guy for, you know, a decade and I'd never shared my testimony, what is going on, Stephen? What are you doing with your life? You know, that was 14 years ago. But that's what hit me so hard. And it was the first time it hit me that somebody that close to me had died and I was not sure of their salvation, and nor had I even tried to do a thing. And oh, did that hit me. It would be no different than standing there on September 11th watching those people die, and that guy might have been one, and just going, too late now. Too late now. Now, why doesn't the Lord take us the moment we get saved? We're here for a reason. Exactly. What is that reason? To share our testimony, exactly, with other people as well. At the end of the day, you're either saved or you're not. That's it. That's really all that matters. And sometimes, you know, yeah, well, that's true, but, you know, I've got this to do, that to do, and no. Share your testimony with somebody. If you died tonight, where would you go and why? And based on the answer you get, boy, that sure opens up that door of utterance, does it not? I mean, you think about that as well. You know, I think I've been doing pretty good. Well, you know, what does that tell you? Okay, somebody's basing their salvation on works, right? Share the gospel with them. You know, carry some little cards around that have the church's website on it. You know, invite them. Hey, we're on the internet every Sunday if you can't make it. Well, we'd love to have you come with us here. Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Hey, if you can't make it, we're on the internet. And by the way, if you have to work on Sundays, and many people do, we've got recorded teachings on there. Okay? One way or another, there's ways for people to hear the gospel at any time of the day. You know, it's one thing that internet has certainly done. Hey, okay, maybe you've got to get ready for work. You can watch us on TV. Okay, you can watch us on the internet live. Or again, you can watch any of those recordings. But invite them. Share your testimony. We're talking about lost believers this morning, and we're going to get to some other testimonies there. And I'm going to share one of those right now. I will never forget, and I'll never forget, and yet I can't remember what year it was. But somewhere back in like 85, 86, there was a, matter of fact, it was a Bible conference in Baton Rouge, the one that is June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, at the same group of believers there. Okay, and Brother Ovid Kirkpatrick at that time had the church in Baton Rouge. And there was a gentleman there that had been working for Brother Moore, as in traveling with him, as in working in his office with Brother Moore. I want to say for 2 or 3 years. You think you remember? I'm thinking he had been working for 2 or 3 years at that time, and he's now over here in Selma. Okay? And so this conference is going on, and all of a sudden Jerry Sanders comes in and he says, "I just got saved." And everybody's like, "What? You've been traveling with Brother Moore for 2 or 3 years. I'm thinking it was 2 or 3 years, but I may have, you know, for a good period of time. What do you mean you're just getting saved? I was a lost believer. And I believe there were 2 or 3 other people that the very next day, I mean, your testimony, giving the power of your testimony. The only thing more powerful than your testimony is the King James Bible right here, the words in this King James Bible. Second to that, are the words of your personal testimony. And it was amazing. I'll call it the revival that started going on. Jimmy Brown, very good friend. Jimmy and Jan Brown were there. Jimmy got saved the next day. Jimmy lives in East Texas. Great guy. If you ever get a chance, well, you probably meet him if you go to the conference June 3rd, 4th, 5th. Lost believer, all these people that had studied. They knew the word rightly divided. That doesn't save you. Nowhere does it say understanding the word rightly divided saves you. You've got to be careful, okay? You know, we talked about this morning. What do you believe and why? But when did you get saved? If you died tonight, where would you go and why? And it starts, you know, it's in what you believe for your salvation. It's in what you trust for your salvation. Okay, and as we say, back here when Christ died, He shed His blood. And that's key, shedding His blood. Okay, when He shed His blood, He was paying the price for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. Everybody deserved death. There's none righteous. No, not one. Right? So when He shed His blood, when he hung on that cross and you know, forgive me for art there, but you know, He had to bleed, He had to shed His blood, and that centurion there at the foot of the cross shoved that spear up there By the way, this morning we defined the word believe and belief and believing in something. And it's based on historical evidence, one of the definitions. Historical evidence, and this is key now, that centurion shoved that spear in his side and out came what? Blood and water is so key. Why? It proved he was dead at that time. When at the moment of your death, the blood and water separate. So historical evidence, he was dead. So, you know, one of those theories, well, he wasn't really dead, and that's how on the third day he was able to come out of the tomb. No, he was dead. He died. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. He shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, the penalty that we deserved. Death. He was buried. When he was buried, he actually didn't just stay in that ground. He went to hell. He took those sins to hell. He took that time you, and then the other time you, and the time that you will in the future. All right, and he took that to hell, and he left those sins in hell. On the third day, God the Father resurrected him for your justification. Okay, those are the historical facts. There are so many people that believe that. By the way, do you think Satan believes today that Christ died on that cross, was buried, and rose again the third day? You better believe it. Now, is Satan saved because he believes that? No way. That's why I say, I asked you earlier, where were you when you found out about 9/11? Everybody in this room said, yes, I remember. Question, where were you when you got saved? Maybe. If you're going maybe, when we finish up here, check it out by the Scriptures. You know, Acts 17, okay, search the Scriptures, but get this worked out. If you're not sure of your salvation, if you're thinking right now, I've got to find a place somewhere. Surely, I've always believed this. I've studied my Bible for 20 years. That doesn't cut it. Jerry Sanders had been studying with Brother Moore, traveling with him for years, and he got saved one day. Steve Gottberg, the guy standing right here, I grew up in a church, and praise God for it. You know, that kind of kept me out of a lot of trouble, but you know, at the end of the day, I was still a sinner just like anybody else. I then got to know the word rightly divided. I was pretty good. You know, I knew some good stuff. Studying under Brother Jerry Lockhart, Brother E.C. Moore, every week. I was at camp, July 1983, and three men preached the same message called Lost Believers. When did you trust Christ for your salvation? When is that time when you realized that there never had been a time when you put your faith in that and that alone for your salvation? When did you stop trying and just start trusting? And I realized that night, oh my gosh, you know, I can remember, well, I'd say I got baptized when I was 17. And actually, when I was 14, I remember walking the aisle one time. And there's the other time I walked. When you got to start doing that, and I remember going to Brother Moore at the end. Brother Moore, I got a problem. I think I'm lost. Brother Moore did the wisest thing I've ever seen in my life. He just said, what are you going to do about it? No, Brother Moore, I need you to help me realize. I understand this stuff. I'm saved, right? He says, I don't know, are you? I wanted so bad for him to convince me that I was saved. And like I say, the wisdom in that man. I was lost. That's why we always say you've got to get lost before you get saved. And I'm seeing a lot of heads in here shaking. When did you get lost? And we talk about sharing testimonies and the power of testimonies. When we lived in Houston, Brother Jerry Lockhart would come over every Tuesday night and give a Bible study. And he would bring people from New Braunfels a lot. And he brought this young man, about 19 years of age, and he'd always come early for dinner. And we were having dinner. And all of a sudden, the young man disappeared for a little while. And he, And he came, and we were, and I forget why we were sharing testimonies like that, and for some reason I shared mine. And the young man comes back at 19, and he said, and he was real quiet sitting there at the end of the table. Finally, he just said, "I just got saved." It's like, wow, praise the Lord. If you think there's not power in your testimony, just share your testimony. Look for those doors of utterance in sharing your testimony, because you see, there are so many lost believers. Again, what's a lost believer? Somebody that believes that Christ died on that cross. And they believe that He was buried, and they believe that He rose the third day. But they've never believed that when He died, He was shedding their blood. They've never seen themselves right there. They've never seen that blood being shed for their sins. When is the time that you accounted Christ's death and His shedding of blood paying the price for your sins? That's the gospel of your salvation. And that He was raised for your justification. And when did you realize that, you know what, there isn't anything you can do? Yeah, there's a lot of things you should do, but you know what, we all sin. And guess what, you're going to continue to sin. That doesn't stop our sin, but the penalty sure has been paid. And it's that simple. Where's that song? All you got to do is what? Believe, that Pastor Barry wrote the day he was saved, for crying out loud. Isn't that amazing that those are the words? All you've got to do is believe. Believe that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It is that easy. It really is. And I always like to, you got to go right behind that with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When did you believe that, and that alone, for your salvation? All you've got to do is believe. All right, thanks for kind of bearing with us to get the timing on that. But gang, that's it. That is absolutely it. And it is sharing your testimony. Why did God leave you here when He saved you? To share your testimony with somebody. Okay? We all may believe a little different thing here, a little different thing. Okay, keep testing out. Search it out. But all that matters is either somebody's saved or they're not. Okay, yes, there's two things that God our Savior would have of all men. That they would be saved and that they would come into the knowledge of the truth. Okay? But when we die, either we're going to hell or we're going to sleep, and then at some point in the future, when, you know, while we're sleeping, at some point in the future, all those people you love right now that died in Christ, that are asleep in Christ, how cool that will be. Their next waking moment, their next conscious moment, they have a glorified body created in His glorious image, right? That's it. I mean, how cool is that? Why does He say, comfort each other? Why does Paul say, comfort each other with these words? When he's talking about that event, if you will, in the future. Because there's comfort in that. We don't need to have pain. Okay, because there is comfort in that. But I guess that, gosh, this is kind of weird, taping in the middle and then trying to... But there really is power in your testimony. I mean, I can think of person after person after person. You know, that night I got saved, July 5th, 1983. First, it was my brother-in-law. That was cool that he preached that night. A.J. Krause from Mobile. He preached that night. Brother Steve Atwood was next. Lost believers. He gets up and he goes, I'm kind of interesting that, you know, Brother AJ's talking about lost believers. He said, I want to talk to you about lost believers. Wham! He hits it home. He finishes. And by now I'm starting to go, I never thought of it that way. You know, it pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching. To save them that believe. Thank you. Believe. There's that word again. Believe. They believe first, then they get saved. But it was the foolishness of preaching that does that. Then Brother Moore comes up and he goes, well, you know, hey, you know, when the Spirit leads, the Spirit leads. Okay, lost believers, and bam, he hits it again. And like I say, I got lost that night. And I remember going back with Kim. Oh, you know, come on, Kim. Sure, I'm saved. You know, and I wanted so bad. So here's what I want to say to you from personal experience. Because you know what enters in is that number one word that Satan loves to use against people today. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. Because all I could do was go back there and start trying to find all those places. Well, surely I was saved. Surely I got saved over here. Well, surely that... Come on. No. Come on. You know, thank you, Lord, for wiping the pride out. Because that was a stage going through there. Matter of fact, that's a part we were talking about that night in Houston when that young 19-year-old... got saved that night. That's where it was. We were talking about the pride part. When we get lost and we try to let pride come in, I tried to let pride come in anyway, to convince me that I had been saved. No. And I was lost as a goose. I always believed those right things. But I had never been lost. You gotta get lost, gang. When did you get lost? When did you get lost? And if you're having trouble, remember the first time I preached here, and one young man grabbed me in the afterwards. And we talked through this. If you've got to have that conversation, don't let anybody try to convince you that you're saved. You've got to examine your own salvation. You've got to examine yourself. And as it says, work it out with fear and trembling. You know, think about those people on 9/11. You talk about fear and trembling. I'd have fear and trembling. If I wasn't absolutely 100% certain of my salvation sitting here right now, I'd have fear and trembling. I'd have fear and trembling. Don't try to convince yourself of something. You know, once you're saved, you know. You know right now, you know, where you're going. Well, just like you could with 9/11. You know, you knew exactly where you were. You'd do that same thing with your salvation right now. You'd know exactly where you were. You might not know what time of day it was. You might not know the date. That's okay. You know the circumstances about it. You know you were sitting in that chair right there. You know you were sitting in your house. You know, like Jan said, you know, I was in my house. I didn't have a TV. Somebody came. You'd remember you remember who that was that came to your house to tell you. You remember the circumstances about it. Gang, it's all that matters. Either you're saved or you're not. And you don't know when that next moment is. She need help? Just this past Monday, somebody that Barry and I knew quite well, he was the CFO of the company that Barry and I worked together quite well in. He's 58 years old. 5 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, he walked into a doctor and found out he had cancer. When the doctor told him that 5 weeks ago, he said, you've got 4 months. Christy's got brown eyes like you. Monday, 6 days ago, was his burial. 58. Okay, we all know stories like this. Okay, my youngest daughter that graduates next week, one of her classmates, about 2 or 3 months ago, a few men came in at 3 o'clock, and now my daughter's friend is gone from the house, and the mother, the two of them were gone. It was some weekend deal somewhere. And the mother's brother's wife was living at the home with their 10-year-old daughter. 3 o'clock in the morning, two men come in. And this, is, by the way, is a multi-million dollar house in a multi-million dollar neighborhood. And my daughter spent the night there a couple times. And two men come into the house, set the bed on fire, the 10-year-old. Yeah. This is real life, gang. This is a friend of my daughter's. Stuff like, you know, stuff happens. I want to say something else happens because it's real. It's real. By the way, the little 10-year-old girl was able to get out of that because the father woke up, heard the screaming, came in, and the little girl was able to run down the street and get some help there, but not after the father was dismembered. So was his sister-in-law who was there. That's the men were hired to kill the sister-in-law is what it ended up being by the husband who was in jail at the time. You know, we all think we're immune from stuff. You know, I don't know what got me going on all this tonight, but or this afternoon, but it's what matters in life. You know, what matters? Yeah, we've got stuff to do. Yeah, we've got bills to pay. Yeah, we've got places to go and people to see. But when you see those people, what are you talking about? Like I say, it's real easy. You know, I've heard that man's testimony that was buried Monday. You know, I worked with him. He was our CFO. And I've heard his testimony several times. I'd shared my testimony with him several times. You know, it makes it easy to hear. Easy. You know, we're still sorry to see people go. But, you know, you can rest. You know, you can comfort one another with these words. When you know of that man's testimony, just like my mother-in-law a month ago, when we laid her in the ground, it was very easy because we knew of her testimony. I was sitting right next to her when she got saved. But like I was sharing, there were two or three people at her burial that you could see the discomfort. Either it's their own salvation or somebody they knew they buried that was close to them. And I knew one of the situations, and it was that person's, one of their parents, that they were concerned about. I can think of no greater regret than burying a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a child, of age, a friend. I've been through there. That's why I quit a job one time, because I buried a friend. But it starts with your salvation. God our Savior would have all men to, you know, 1 Timothy, let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Again, you got to believe it because you see it in the Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So I ask you one last time. If you died tonight, where would you go? And why? When did you get saved? Better yet, when did you get lost? Based on when you got lost, did you get saved? For those of you that think you're saved, in what are you trusting for your salvation? Go back and examine it right now. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. Go back and examine it. And when you're secure in it, praise God. Now let's go share it with somebody. And think about those people that you know you need to talk to. You need to go share your testimony with. We've all got two or three at least, don't we? And I say we. Hey, listen, thanks for letting me kind of go on a little bit here this afternoon. Questions?